I think it's one of those things when you get it in play, you look at things and you will reevaluate that as the season's going on. And if it's appropriate to make changes in the future, we will. So I think it'll be a big improvement. I think it will bring the play back into, you know, a relevant play, an important play, and an exciting play. And I think we can do it where the injury rate hopefully will drop.
All right, let's kick off talking about this new hybrid kickoff, this XFL-inspired kickoff that the NFL adopted at the owners' meeting by a vote of 29-3, I believe it was. The kickoff went from back in the day to all the way back. Kickoffs were returned at a rate of 22% last year. The XFL had a rate of 97% returns. On this kickoff. I don't know if you can tell by my tone and the inflection in my voice, but I am excited about the kickoff coming back in a new, well, not new, I mean, they copied it from the XFL, but new for the NFL, a new, innovative, safer way. I'm here for it. I'm feeling it. I'm excited to see the strategy. The roster construction
strategy.
Has already...
The strategy.
Well, I mean, because it's really like a glorified, like wide run play. So I'm interested to see how people scheme it on both sides, kicking team and receiving team. I'm interested to see how people scheme it, how teams build rosters accordingly. Like, no coincidence, minutes after this thing passes, the Steelers sign Cordarrelle Patterson, who's got, what, 9 kick return touchdowns in his career, who's a running back anyway. And from what I read and understand, see, I've been nerding out on this, man. I've been watching more XFL video than I have since the days that he ate me. Like, it's more conducive to a running play, or a running back, actually, being a return guy, than it is just a straight speed guy. And Cordarrelle Patterson, obviously, you know, Belichick made him a running back and changed his career. Now after Smith gets him back, the Steelers got a new weapon, your Steelers, your new, not your granddad Steelers, making the types of moves that I think we're going to see a lot of teams start to make to take advantage of this kickoff. It should be an exciting action back play. I'm tired of touchbacks. I'm sick of seeing touchbacks. I grew up with Mel Gray. You know, Devin Hester was one of the most exciting players in NFL history.
Okay, there we go. Now we're talking.
So you just want to bring the old thing back. You like H-Town. No, you want to bring the old thing back. What, is this too radical for you? It's too radical. It's too different.
Dude, it's too goofy. It's like, man, you want to go to the fair, you want to go to the circus, you want to play some games. Let's just do something silly. Let's say, you know, remember that movie, that stupid movie, Basketball, where like baseball and basketball, like you want to do something just really weird. Let's get weird. Okay, let's get weird on Brother from Another. Look,
you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Like, you can always come up with an exciting play that has nothing to do with the sport that you're playing. So, yeah. Oh, wow.
Wait a minute. They're not shooting free throws.
It ain't got nothing to do with football.
What do you mean?
It ain't got nothing to do with
it. It's just not football that you're... How so?
Okay. So, we're about to put a guy in the Hall of Fame. We're going to see his ceremony. We're going to hear from Devin Hester. He's going to be celebrated. He's going to have a gold jacket in Canton for something that doesn't exist. You can't say that about any other aspect of football. You can't say that about a wide receiver, a quarterback, a tight end who is celebrated in Canton for something that doesn't exist in this sport anymore. It doesn't exist. He is the greatest kickoff return man in NFL history, and there is no kickoff return anymore. It doesn't exist. It's silly.
There is going to be a kickoff return. More frequent kickoff returns. It's just evolved.
But you can't call that a kickoff return. You can't call that.
So not as we're accustomed to it. But okay, Michael, let me ask you this. Because you're as much of an NFL historian as I am. Okay, let me ask you this. Wouldn't you agree that when you turn on NFL films, or when you go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, or you study NFL history, the game, the way it's played, looks a hell of a lot different now in 2024 than it did in 1924 or 34 or 44. Once upon a time, people were, their mind was blown by the forward pass. Okay? They were drop kicking once upon. There are lots of things in the lore, in the annals, in the history of the NFL
evolution
that went the way of the dinosaur.
That evolved.
Right. So
is this obviously, is this evolution?
This is evolution.
You think it's evolution?
Yes, it's evolution.
You think it is?
Yes, they're kicking the ball off. The return will reduce the number of collisions, which statistically and analytically lead to a higher rate of injuries. And we talked about this the other day with the hip drop tackle. I understand the hypocrisy and the inconsistency. We're trying to make the game safer in some aspects, and yet they don't want to go to all grass fields at every stadium. They want to maintain this abusive turf. I understand that. But I would prefer this as opposed to just a routine touchback every time they're kicking off.
Me too. I don't want a touchback, and I am all for player safety. I really am for player safety. So I'm not the one, for example, who brought on a 17th game, and I'm not the one talking about an 18th game. I'm all for player
on a
safety.
Wednesday.
So I want everybody to have grass fields, but you know I'm not in charge of that department. So you can't. I don't believe them on player safety. I don't believe them. I really don't. It's a kick. You have the opening kickoff. You have the kickoff to start the third quarter and kickoff after a score. So what, I mean, and how many kickoffs do you get in a game? I mean, like
quite
maximum.
Quite a few. But, I mean, they're complaining because scoring is down right now. They want more of them. They want more kickoffs.
But you don't have 40 of them in a game.
No.
You don't have 50. So when you talk about collisions, I understand coming, you know, racing down the field.
High-speed collisions.
High-speed collisions. But there are 70, 80, 90 collisions every
car
play
crashes.
In a football game.
All the time. Correct.
All
Correct.
The time. And right. And for a league that took a
that.
Long time.
And they're not ignoring that. I'm not trying to be the guy from the NFL office here because it's not my department either. And I ain't keeping up for the league.
Right.
But it's not like there aren't other measures to take the head out of the game. There are penalties when it comes to using your head improperly. In practice, they're wearing these silly guardian caps, which, you know, have helped to reduce head trauma during practice. So I don't know if this is the road you're going down, but it's not as though head trauma and collisions are being ignored in other areas.
I signed up. I can look myself in the mirror, and I know. I've told you many times, and I've told our audience many, many times. If you're looking for a hypocrite, hey, nice to meet you. So I can deal with my own hypocrisy, my own imperfections. I know. See, I'll be honest enough to say because I am not a part of the NFL front office structure, high, you know, ownership structure. You can't make it safer. You can't take
yes,
out
you
head.
Can.
You
can make it
you
safer.
Can't take head
you can't
trauma.
Make it safe.
You can
can't take
it,
head trauma out completely, but you can reduce it. You can reduce it, and it has been reduced. You can take steps to make it safer.
I don't know that. It's just
not safe.
Violent,
it's never going to be complete.
Nasty,
it's a violent game. Does it have to be as violent? Does it have to leave bodies as broken? It's going to be nasty and violent. But it does not have to be the game that has people suffering from CTE and dementia and their bodies broken at the rate that they have been historically. You can't avoid it completely, but you can still take steps to curb some of the danger, can you not? Without compromising the integrity of the game. I do miss the old school kickoffs.
I wish that were true.
But I'm okay with trying something new. Open your mind, old man, and try something new. Do you only listen to the same music you listened to when you were growing up?
No, no,
do you only listen to your parents' music? Do you wear the same? Do you only listen to a Tribe Called Quest?
No, come back for a second. Because
what?
I like the insults and all that stuff.
I'm not insulting you. I'm being facetious. I'm not insulting you at all. Because I know you listen to contemporary music. I know you listen to contemporary hip-hop.
What I'm saying is,
I know you're just stuck in the Stone Age. I know that.
What I'm saying is, I heard some of the insults. Some of them I didn't even hear.
I'm not insulting you.
I know they weren't nice.
I'm not insulting you.
I know you were.
I'm not insulting you. I was glad I was being facetious.
What I want to point out is I wish what you were saying, I wish that were true, that, you can curb this. The NFL, I don't believe the NFL when it comes to statistics on trauma. They didn't even, There as recently, as 2007 and 2008. There's an interview out there. Go look at it. HBO, I think it was Real Sports.
Okay.
Where they were even denying that collisions led to head trauma in this century. In the 21st century,
nothing,
the NFL
to
is
say
late.
Nothing about,
I don't believe about, them.
Mike, to say nothing about race norming. You're right. No, I hear you. I heard race norming when it comes to concussion settlements and the baseline for black players versus white players in terms of how much cognitive decline they have to experience in order to receive payouts and disability payments. So, no, if you're saying I don't trust the NFL, I don't trust their motivations, I don't trust that they actually have player interest at heart.
Or their
I
numbers.
Understand where you're coming from. Or their numbers. Or their facts.
So
that's the journalist
say,
in you.
I would say in this
and
game,
I respect that. I respect that.
But, unfortunately.
But I think regardless of whether the numbers are inflated or not, or exaggerated or not, I think that just as a viewer of the game, as a consumer of the game, as a lifelong watcher of football as you are, right? As you are. You've been watching it for 10 years longer than I have, right? As a lifelong fan of football, I think you would have to acknowledge that the game is played differently and therefore safer, not safe, but safer than the game that we grew up watching. The collisions that we see in the secondary, the days of Jack Tatum and Ronnie Lott, or the way that the quarterbacks are protected, sometimes to a frustrating point, oftentimes to a frustrating point. The way that they just took out the hip drop tackle. The game is safer. Is it safe? Is the NFL actually committed to safety across the board? No.
No.
Are they consistent? No. Are there still steps to be taken when it comes to the concussion protocol? Absolutely. Are they hypocritical when it comes to making it safer for certain players but not others, or in certain aspects and not others? Grass fields, as we just referenced a second ago. Absolutely. But is it safer, and are there steps to be taken to make it safer, relatively speaking? I believe there is, Michael. And I'm saying, just all I want to ask you to do, it wasn't an insult, I'm just simply saying, keep an open mind. What if it's exciting? What if there are more touchdowns? What if there are more big plays?
Oh, there will be.
What if there's a different level of strategy?
There are many things
there's
to
nothing
make.
Wrong with
there
it.
Are many things that I can name something in every sport, in every single sport, no exaggeration. Give me like 20 minutes and you say, we need to make baseball more exciting. I can make it more exciting. It may not have anything to do with the game of baseball that you love.
That's great.
Or it could be like some.
They sped up the game. Literally and figuratively, it sped up the game.
Okay. There are certain things that do have to do with baseball.
More steals. Right.
There could be. But what you're doing is gathering people together, and then you have a kickoff. I mean, like, dude, it's crazy. It really is crazy. I'll be looking. Of course, I'm curious because I'm curious about a lot of things, but that doesn't necessarily make
is this
it
too much
a
for
great
you?
Thing.
Is this too and complicated for you? It's too much.
No,
just
no it's not complicated.
Just, like, run into
it's
each
not
other?
Complicated at all. There's nothing complicated about it. It's as simple as it. You know what it is? This is like a football clinic where you get some people together. And you're trying to explain elements of football to them, but you don't want them to be hurt. So you kind of slow it down and you gather them together and say, hey, it's something like this. This has nothing to do with the game that we have watched. This is not evolution. This is a tweak. It's not evolution. Look, if you want to see the kickoff come back, there's an easy solution to that. Have the kicker move the kicker back 10 yards. Move the kicker back 10 yards. So you force a kickoff.
But then the collisions. Yeah.
Yeah. The collisions are going to happen. The collisions are going
to
happen.
They don't have
and
to happen at that speed.
But I don't buy the presumption that most injuries, that the most violent injuries happen on the kickoff. I don't buy it. Because I've seen injuries happen in all sorts of ways. Seen some violent ones. I've seen some injuries happen.
It's the rate. It's the rate of injury on that play, in particular.
I guarantee
you, if we were in the time machine and we went back to went back to, was it 19, is it 79? What year did the NBA adopt the three-point line? Was it 79?
1979, 1980.
I guarantee you, I guarantee you, if we go back to two brothers on Peacock 45 years ago, one of them was like, the three-point line.
That on multiple levels.
Right.
On multiple levels.
Right. I know. Right. It wasn't two brothers, obviously. It was probably two old white guys being like, oh, the three-point line. Ah. Whoa. Hey, this is my Bob Ryan impression. Oh, my God. The three-point
line. Okay, Bob Ryan's
what is this? Exactly.
2024.
Oh, the three-pointer. Why are we shooting threes? Saying. This is ridiculous. Oh, the designated hitter. What is a designated hitter? What does that even mean? Like, okay, come on. Like, somebody told me this. Here's another word for you. I still don't like it. Here's another word for you. Somebody once told me, and I can't stand the person who told it to me, but somebody once told me, the only people who are comfortable with change are babies. Nobody likes change.
Right.
Nobody likes things being different. But, like, give it a chance. I'm intrigued by it. I'm hyped by it.
Oh, I like change. But wait a minute. I like change. I don't like change based on something that I don't believe in. So I don't believe. I don't believe that the rate of injuries is higher with the with the traditional kickoff. Yeah, you want to change the kickoff? I'm all for changing the kickoff. You want to bring in an exciting play? Yes, I want the play to be exciting too. I do love the story. Old school, you mentioned Gray. How about Gale Sayers and kickoff returns?
Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Billy White Shoes Johnson, then the spike at the end of the play. And to the modern day, Cordero Patterson, as you mentioned. Devin Hester, I love at the beginning of the Super Bowl. I love these plays. So you can change it to take off the automatic touchback by moving the kicker back and guaranteeing that there's a return. How about that? That's a change. I like change.
Okay.
I was at the first He Hate Me game in Las Vegas. I was there. Mm-hmm. Rod Smart, also known as He Hate Me on the back of his jersey. So I was there, and I saw the XFL kickoff. I saw the first one. And Dick Butkus, the great Dick Butkus, was in the house. Dick Ebersol was there from NBC. I remember talking to Lee Montville about it. I remember, like yesterday. And I actually liked it for the XFL. Because the XFL was what it XFL. Knew what it was.
So this
it
was, so this it was feels a little too wrestling. This feels too so this feels disingenuous and gimmicky. In summary,
it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
It's a
okay.
Gimmick.
All right. Okay. Okay.
You'll see.
All right.
I'll
see.
One of us. You'll see. Yeah. One of us in 5 years. One of us will clearly be on the right side of history. And one of us will clearly be on the wrong side. I just wonder who that's going to be.
I'll take the Pepsi challenge when it comes to track records any day of the fucking week with you. Okay? Okay. Okay. Are we in Inglewood?
We'll see.
All right. Okay. All right, listen, I don't think it's going to take 5 years. I think this season you're going to be like, dog. This shit is wild. I'm loving this new kickoff.
I'm gonna say that. I'll say it's wild.
And then you're gonna come back and be like, Michael, just like I told you, didn't I tell you that this was innovative and forward thinking on the part of the NFL? Didn't I tell you that? That's what you're gonna say. That's what you're gonna say. And then you're gonna confuse all the new people who didn't see this show, and they're gonna think that you were right and I was wrong. All right? Because that's how you keep up with me. That's how you keep the score close with your tricks and your shenanigans. What are you reading? Is there breaking news? Something happened?
Maybe. Yeah, there is breaking news, but not that has nothing to do with brother from another. It's breaking news in the Holly household.
Uh-oh. You all right?
Go ahead.
We need to take a break?
He's good.
You sure?
No.
You sure?
We just got to make sure the dog. And nobody fed the dogs today, so we just going to get the dogs fed.
Bruh.
Go ahead.
Dog. I mean, can we talk? Let's talk about that for a second.
I'm telling them right now, feed the damn dogs, okay?
Did I ever tell you that one of the ugliest nights in the history of the Smith household was when Savannah lost her shit when she was about 11 years old. Because Sarah, I told people this before. I almost got way too comfortable.
hey, listen.
Almost got way too bruh. I don't know. You ever look, the worst thing they could have done was take this daily live program that used to be on live every day from 3 to 4 on Peacock and Sirius XM and tape it. Cause now I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm just gonna let it fly. Now, like, I'm not even like thinking. Cause I'm like, I got this safety net now. It's like before it was like, oh, maybe there's a delay. I gotta, you know. Now I'm just like, just saying whatever the fuck ever. I'm just saying it, right? Like,
there was never a delay. Michael, I just want to point that out to you.
I've always cussed, but now it's like I'm even more comfortable because I know we're taping it. And it could be like edited if necessary, or maybe not. So I still got to watch it because, you know, everything's always live, I guess. Mike's always hot. But no, I was about to say something that would have been really inappropriate and it would have probably got me in trouble and that nobody needed to hear. Having said all that, let's just say that it was a very slim chance, slim to none. And I thought none, much closer to none, that my wife would ever acquiesce and get a dog. She just never wanted a dog. Well, sure enough, we got a dog. And who knew that the dog would almost immediately become my dog, which I'm good with. Stokely's my guy. Like, Stokely. I love Stokely. Stokely Carmichael. I mean, that's my dog.
He's been on the show.
He's been on the show. He's right here. He's actually laying right next to me. He's my dog.
Hear
right, he's my dog. But it incenses me how somebody, and I'm specifically talking about Savannah, because the other two kind of follow her lead. How Savannah could have begged and pleaded for the dog, but doesn't want to do shit for the dog. Feed the dog.
There it is.
Don't want to walk the dog. Don't want to brush his teeth. Don't want to brush him. Don't want to pick up his shit in the backyard. Nothing. It falls on us. But you begged for the dog.
How's that? Right.
You begged for the dog.
And that's just one dog.
I can't imagine having multiple.
Imagine three.
We've
had this conversation.
But you got one per kid. It shouldn't be hard. It's man to man.
Right.
It's what you got one per kid.
That's what we do. It's a rotation. It goes in bar order. Beckham, Ava, Robinson. So it goes in bar order. It's your day. Is it a B day? A day? Okay, here we are. But this morning,
one of them just take one dog. Like one of them, it's like an easy evaluation. This is your dog. Every day you feed this dog.
That would require too much.
Don't worry about the other ones.
But you know,
just feed this dog.
Some mornings, somebody's running behind. Hey, cover for me this morning. I'll cover for you tonight. That whole thing, and then we wind up like we are today, where nobody covered for anybody. Nobody took responsibility.
Right.
And so here we are.
Dogs walking around throwing shit up, like throwing up bile. like throwing a dog because they haven't eaten.
Hey, and I always say to them, like, hey, yeah, you know, why don't we just give the dogs to a family that really cares? Oh, no, no, no. You can't do that.
Don't say that.
You can't say that. Mm-mm. They're part of this family. They're part of the family.
Tears.
How could you
tears
say that?
Tears and whatnot.
Please, don't give it to them.
Like, okay, all right. Nothing changes. All right.
We're on it.
Owners meeting. Well, you're good. All right. Owners meetings. What else stood out to you at the owners meetings? I'm actually referring to your feed item. We still do feeds around here. Your feed item in response to Jeffrey Lurie explaining why he retained Nick Sirianni. What stood out to you about his comments?
All right, what stood out to me? He just said it out loud. See, Lurie, this is what an owner would say this. I'm going to tell you what the owner said. Then I'm going to translate it for you. Owner said, we're just so appreciative of Nick Sirianni, who just wants to get better. He wants to do whatever is best for making the offense more dynamic. We've had success. He wants to do that. So we brought in Kellen Moore. You know, he wants to do what's best for the defense. He brought in Vic Fangio. You know what he did? Let me translate for you. He sold out his O coordinator and D coordinator to keep his damn job. That's what he did. So it's nothing really impressive about it. If Nick Sirianni, if he wanted to impress me, hey, look. Say it's not the coaches. It's not. See what happens. Call us bluff. Call Lori's bluff. Like, look, it's not the coaches. If you think it's those coaches, no, it starts with me. I'm the one who put the wrong defensive coordinator in place originally. Then I'm the one who made it worse. I made it worse by bringing in Matt Patricia, who unbelievably, remarkably, in 2022 was a better offensive coordinator, where he had no idea what he's doing, than he was in 2023 as a defensive coordinator. He was worse on defense than he was on offense. I'm the one who did that. And so, Mr. Lurie, if you want to make any changes, it starts with me. But he did the old normal thing. He went behind closed doors. You know that little, it's a little line that goes around on social media and everybody's getting in on it. Mm. It says something like, you know, I want to be the kind of person, if I'm not in the room, I want somebody to speak for me. I want somebody, if I'm not at the table, I hope I have somebody at the table who speaks up for me. No, hey, brothers, y'all wasn't at the table. And Nick Sirianni was not there for you. He was not checking for you. He was checking for himself. So he sold you out. So look, it's fine. Philadelphia will be fine. It's just like Jeffrey Lurie told us something that's not really. He just confirmed what I already knew, but he just confirmed it.
Yeah, I mean, will they be fine? I mean, do you think whatever he said to keep his job, whoever he hired, Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio,
whatever he said to keep his job,
to appease ownership,
it was those two.
You know what I'm saying? To appease ownership, I'm saying, is that it? Is that it? Problem solved. You know, they went off season, shopping spring again, like they do every year. They were the most aggressive team this offseason, as they are all the time. Is that it? Problem solved. Back to the team that they were at the beginning of last season. Even though there were signs, even when they were winning all those games, there were signs. There were cracks in the foundation.
No, right.
But back to the team that represented the NFC in the Super Bowl, that beat the 49ers in the NFC title game. Are they good to go? It feels like this is just, to me, staving off the inevitable, because I told you before, for me, with Nick Sirianni, it's more of a temperament thing. It's more of just the type of tone and the type of what's the word? I don't think the implosion was simply schematic, is what I'm getting at last year. I've said this already. I don't think it was about, you know, scheme or about players. I think it was about a general
panicky
inability. I'm not gonna call it master of panic, Shaq, Stan Van Gundy thing, but volatile. How about volatile?
Okay.
How about that?
So okay, that's a good word.
He has no more fall guys. So if the coordinator change and the offseason additions led by Saquon Barkley don't solve all the problems, there's nobody else for him to go into the office and say whatever ownership wants to hear to save his job. Like, usually replacing coordinators and replacing them with two guys, one is an ex-head coach, one has been in the coaching interview cycle for years, who's on your side of the ball offense. When you replace both coordinators, that's like step one toward being out the door, unless you find a way to get this thing on course immediately. Like, there's nobody else wanting to blame me after this.
And I would say, as much as I would love to troll you, I think I've run out of Philadelphia Eagles swag. I've declared. I've shown
you've
everything
run,
that I
you've
have.
You've run out of like a substance with which to troll me. You troll me because the Niners starting quarterback elbow got obliterated. And the Eagles won the NFC Championship game. That's all you ever had to troll me on.
Happening. Wouldn't football be great if there were no injuries?
Let's take hits out of the game.
Maybe Roger Goodell can make that happen. Where nobody has injuries. Let's make that happen. There's no injuries.
We're close to you can't touch the quarterback. We're close. Yeah.
Okay. But I would say, as much as I love to troll you with Philadelphia, here's the other thing. Yeah, they added Saquon Barkley and they made some nice moves on defense.
Devin White. Yeah, I like Devin White.
Devin White's a good one. They got my man from the Jets. The name is escaping me right now.
Huff, Bryce Huff, defensive end. Yeah,
Huff. They got Huff from the Jets. So they've done a nice job. And look, I think they need help. They moved
Dream
on
team.
From Byard. They should bring in, if any team needs Justin Simmons, It's the Philadelphia Eagles. He's out there, free agent, great player.
They brought back Gardner Johnson. They brought back C.J. Gardner-Johnson, right?
Brought him back.
Yeah.
But they lost Fletcher Cox. They lost Jason Kelce. Two big-time captains, long-time Eagles who know
I just
more
talked
than...
about volatility. I just talked about, you know,
too stable.
Being even-keeled. That's right.
Hall of Fame. Eagles.
That's big.
One of them is going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Kelce is a Pro Football Hall of Famer and an Eagles Hall of Famer. And Cox is an Eagles Hall of Famer, too. You lose both of those guys in the same offseason, that's huge. Yeah, it's going to be – they had their moment. They had their moment in Super Bowl 57. They missed that moment up 10 at halftime, and they had their moment 11 games into the season, 10-1. And then another Philly story, by way of Nigeria, things fell apart.
You know, or Philadelphia, whichever you prefer. Chinua Achebe, Roots, either way, I'm with you. What I would love to do, I think the best way for us to evaluate where the Eagles are at this point, Michael, since the Eagles are such a like you talk about playing the hits on these types of hit programs, such a cornerstone topic for this show, I think it's only right for us to see the Eagles in person. We can watch the game on television, but like, I mean, I just feel like we should see them up close. We should, like, you got to be boots on the ground. And what better place to be boots on the ground than Brazil? Brazil, for you Street Fighter 2 fans out there. Like, I want to go, I need to go to this game. I don't know if they got enough money for both of us, and that's really not my problem. it's every man for himself, okay? I need to go. I need to go exclusively streamed on Peacock, Eagles versus somebody, Brazil game.
Browns, right?
And is it the Browns? Is the Browns? Yeah.
Is it Browns? Eagles and Browns? Yeah.
It's not. I don't think it's confirmed yet. I don't think it's confirmed. I don't give a damn who they playing. I don't give a damn if they playing the Philadelphia Soul. I don't care where they kicking the ball off from. Hey, let's go see the kickoff, how it works in Brazil. All I'm saying is, like, you ever been to Brazil? I've never been to Brazil.
I've never been to Brazil.
We should do the whole week from there. We should just show the whole week.
I'm all right. I feel like this is my destiny. Now, you just made the case for yourself. Okay, of course. You know, you in for yourself. I feel like I should be there. Now, you should come along too, but if you have to pick one.
Nature. If you had to pick one, why would you? Obviously, it's me.
I should go. I'm going to tell you why I should go.
Why?
Do you know, a little known fact. Before I took the job with the Boston Globe in the early 1990s, I was taking Portuguese lessons in Akron, Ohio, preparing for a vacation to Brazil. So I was taking lessons like two or three times a week. I was getting ready. And then...
Do you speak Portuguese?
That's why I was taking lessons, homie. I was taking lessons.
But so what I does that have to do... That's not a compelling argument.
Wait a minute.
Because you took Portuguese lessons? Shit, I went to a Brazilian steakhouse last week. Do I get credit for that?
No. I was preparing to spend my time because I was taking Portuguese lessons, preparing for my trip. I had a vacation plan for Brazil.
That's nice.
In August of 1994. And
right
before my vacation, Boston Globe says, hey, we need you. Can you start? And I'm thinking, okay, do I pick the Boston Globe or do I pick Brazil? And I had to give up my Brazilian vacation that was planned for months to take the job at the Globe. And so now this is my time to recoup that vacation that I lost 30 years ago. Okay. So this is perfect.
Nice try.
This is for me.
Nice try.
This is for me.
Nice try.
This trip's for me.
Listen, I'll store you in my luggage. Okay, you be a stowaway on this here train. Okay, remember the stowaways? You be a stowaway on this boat.
See, is it too soon to joke about that? Is it too soon to joke about stowaways? Too soon?
No.
No, you're talking. Okay. You're talking. Okay.
What,
all right.
Why?
No, what'd I say?
What'd I say?
No, you're good.
Am I good?
No, you didn't say anything wrong. You didn't say anything wrong.
Okay.
You were talking about something. My mind went somewhere else. Anyway. But I think we should
moving
go.
Moving right along. Yes, we should go.
I think we should go as a show.
Yes. We can't talk about the Eagles without talking about the 49ers. It feels only natural.
Oh, of course. I'm actually
going to be rational and reasonable about this. I'm actually conflicted, believe it or not. I'm conflicted. Because, okay, so Brandon Ayuk, great social media person, as well as, I don't even follow him on social media. I just like, you know, spelling out money talks and bullshit walks with emojis. I like him kind of like, you know, tweeting at Mike Tomlin, talking about they say we twins. I just like how he's moving right now. My man is letting it be known. I'm not comfortable. I ain't eating. He's like, I'm not comfortable, okay? With this contract negotiation. He wants to get paid. He's been outperforming his that rookie deal, right? So I appreciate Brandon Ayuk. I want to see him get paid. I want to see everybody get paid. Everybody eats. But yesterday, Jed York, CEO, was talking about the fact that Brock Purdy's coming up. And Brock Purdy about to join the $40 million a year club for a quarterback, which is about 10 or so guys in that club. And so when you look at, like, the Niners and what's a lot, they've been a quarterback away until they found Purdy from being a Super Bowl team. They still haven't won it, of course, but at least this group hasn't won it. But they had this Super Bowl ready roster. And then they hit on Mr. Irrelevant, who's on this rookie contract, making less than $1 million a year in salary, I believe. Which, when you have a quarterback on a rookie contract, especially one that cheap, it just allows you to do so many other things with your roster. But I remember talking to, and this isn't a novel thought, a lot of people feel this way, but I thought it was put best when I was talking to like an executive about Brock Purdy, because you know I'm a Purdy guy. Like I built and gassed the Purdy hype
train. I know you are.
Like that's I drove that, okay?
But
I think it is fair to be of the opinion that you don't fear Brock Purdy as much as you fear the system. You don't just fear Purdy, you fear the system. And so
insert line.
They're all system quarterbacks. They're all system quarterbacks.
Thank you very much. Keep going.
To an extent. So I'm like, I'm conflicted because I'm just like, yeah. If you got, you know, they got two types of teams. Team that's looking for quarterbacks, team that's got quarterbacks. And if you got one and he's performing the way Brock Purdy is, pay that man. But at what cost? Like, you pay him $40 million. Are you able to keep the Brandon Ayuk? Are you able to keep the roster as healthy as it is? Even though the cap's exploding and it's going up year after year and they're making all this revenue. So I gotta say, like, I'm concerned. I believe Brock Purdy is the real deal. I think you can both be a beneficiary of the system and the talent around you and a legitimate MVP quarterback. But I think the word is reservations, Michael. I have reservations as a Niners observer, not a fan, a Niners observer, about investing $40 million when this formula has been this perfect conductor, you know, maximizing the talent elsewhere on the roster. On offense in particular, now investing $40 million a year in him, does that throw off this balance that they have? You know, like, and if they do, will they end up missing their window to seize, you know, having Brock Purdy on the cheap? Like, no, I've never seen anybody survive a mistake the way that the Niners did. The Niners had one of the all-time worst trades and simultaneously had one of the all-time best draft discoveries in NFL history. But if they got to pay him $40 million, that just feels like it kind of changes the math for them in ways that concern me.
Mike,
does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what concerns me. What concerns me is I'm concerned that we have switched roles and that you're talking about concerns about Brock Purdy and paying him $40 million a year. And I'm going to tell you that I'm not concerned at all that the 49ers absolutely have to give Brock Purdy a $40, $45 million, $50 million per season contract. Why? Simply because business is good. We were just talking about it. Where you were willing to sell me out and go to Brazil on your own and leave me back in the States. Business is good. There's going to be an NFL game on Friday. It's going to be on Peacock. There was a playoff game on Peacock. It did very well. It brought in more subscribers here. There's going to be a playoff game on Amazon, another one of your employers. It's going to do very well, too. There's money. There's money just being tossed around in the air. It's like being one of those money machines. You just jump in there, and you're going to grab whatever you can. You come out, and you're going to do well for yourself. The cap went up $30 million last year to this year. Nobody expected that. It was so good, Mike, that this is like debt forgiveness. It was debt forgiveness day in the NFL. There were teams that were like, damn, we over the cap. Right. We over the cap. Yeah. What the hell are we going to do? And then the cap numbers came in, and they're like, oh, we good. We rich. We rich. He got his own money. I mean, really, everything is going well for the NFL. So $40 million for Brock Purdy in 2024, it sounds like a good salary. In 3 years, that's going to be a deal. So sign Purdy. Yeah. He's a good quarterback. Yeah. Now, the question is, and it's not can you win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. You can. You can win a Super Bowl.
If you can get there, you can.
Right. Yeah.
If you can get there, you can.
Won Super Bowl 58. I mean, you could have. It's not like, they had no chance. They couldn't win it because Brock Purdy is the quarterback. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They could have.
Yeah.
That's not the question. The question is he special? Is he special? We don't know if he's special. We do know he's a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback who you can get to the Super Bowl with and you can win the Super Bowl. So whether he's special or not, that's extra. That's a luxury. That's a luxury question. Sure. That's a question of privilege.
No, you're worth what somebody's willing to pay for you. And you're worth the leverage that you have. He doesn't need to be. That's why I say, like, there are franchise quarterbacks and there are quarterbacks for franchises. He's the perfect quarterback for this franchise. Does that mean that somebody else cannot have success under these circumstances? No, but it doesn't. That's fine. That's not it. He happens to be there and he's maximizing it. I think there's a lot of situations and a lot of quarterbacks that if you inserted another one into those circumstances, they would do just as well or struggle just the same. Very few transcend their circumstances, which is why they're all system quarterbacks. Go ahead.
You know what? This is just as an aside. I like Brock Purdy. I mean, I like his.
Who doesn't?
I like his demeanor.
No,
I'm saying like this.
Don't come over here. Don't come too far over here. I like you. I like you calming my fears. But don't come over here.
I can't hear you.
Don't come over here. Don't come over here.
I can't hear you right now. I suddenly can't hear you.
Are you serious or are you joking?
I cannot hear you.
Fuck you, Michael. And
I
want you
over there. I heard that. Okay, there you go. What were you saying? Really? You started talking and I couldn't hear you.
Nothing important. Let's take a break. Let's quit while we're ahead. Let's take a break. Let's quit while we can. Let's quit before we get fired.